God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today's message, in one essence, was not necessarily written for you. It was actually written for our confirmands in the second service. But I can sort of get a post-confirmand version of that for you today. I'm actually going to be doing a combination of a couple things. We'll be picking up a little bit of our gospel reading, adding another gospel reading from a few weeks ago, and of course you were paying close attention, that of the prodigal son, with the phrase or the title of the message being, "Don't grow up." And some of you might be saying, "Pastor, it's a little too late. I already grew up." Well, that's probably true. That's why this message is not exactly for you. But what I'm talking about here and not growing up is not necessarily a physical growing up, but more of what happens when you do become my age or older. We live in a society, especially here in the United States, that it seems like over the years has become a little bit more angry. We live in a society that becomes a little bit more condescending of others and condemning of others. And when I compare and contrast that, when I do my teaching for my junior hires and for younger kids, it's strange, I don't always see that type of anger. I don't see that type of condemnation amongst the kids. You tell the kids something and they are ready to believe and trust it. Don't grow up. Continue that innocent belief and trust. Continue in considering everyone around you your friend. You may not always agree with them, but they're still your friend. They're still your buddy. For our junior hires, it's still their classmates. That anger and frustration and condemnation is not something I usually see amongst the kids. I see it amongst the grown-ups. Based off of the parable of the prodigal son, we heard this in church just a few weeks ago. The younger son, of course, yes, being young and rebelled, but then had a change of heart, returned back to the father, and is now embraced by the father, and the father throws a wonderful party. His son has returned. It's the older son now who has the attitude. It's the older son who now has the condemnation of the younger son. It's the older one who has all this I language and is very self-centered and has all this anger. The younger son is probably saying, "Hey, isn't it great? I had a change of heart, but now I even have a party. I'm back connected with Christ, so to speak, as the parable teaches." It's the older son who sits there and says, "I will not go to the party." Don't grow up. We need to realize very quickly that Christianity is unique from all religions. Christianity is special in which we have a Savior who comes to us. A Savior to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. But too often we take that special relationship for granted. Yes, we hear the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins being proclaimed from this pulpit. Yes, we just got through celebrating the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But do we really believe it? Will we leave here today with a loving approach to those people who are around us? Or will we leave here today entering a world that's, yes, filled with anger and condemnation and quickly be a part of it? Don't grow up. On my way back from celebrating the Easter services here at Trinity, I got stopped at a stoplight. There's nothing wrong with that. Behind me, the car behind me stopped, and I looked in the rearview mirror to see a young couple with a couple kids in the back seat. And it was very interesting, and very quickly, just as they stopped, the atmosphere of the car changed. You saw a husband and wife sort of looking at each other and now staring in the back and a little bit of a scrambling. To which mom now gets out of the car very quickly. And sure enough, what had occurred? Junior, who's sitting in the back seat in the little car seat, took his shoe off and threw it out the window. You know, my daughters didn't quite do that, but they've done similar things. She gets back into the car, and of course then Dad is using the button and pushing up all the windows now. We learned our lesson, Dad, yes. But then what was the reaction of Mom and Dad at this point? Because here's the key. The reaction of Mom and Dad was very similar to your reaction. They laughed. They giggled a little bit. They had a little bit of fun with it. And the first thought that went through our mind is that not what God does for us? He has transferred the anger he would have over our disobedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that when Christ dies on the cross, he bears the anger and wrath of God the Father. So that God the Father now can look at us, even in the midst of our own rebellion and disobedience, and laugh and giggle. This is what Christianity is about. This is what it means to have a loving, caring Savior. Sure, I'm sure the parents were thinking, please don't do this all the time. I'm sure the parents were thinking, you know, I hope he eventually learns how to behave in the car. That windows are not designed to throw your shoes out. But thank you that it happened at a stoplight and not on the expressway. And thankful that if it did happen on the expressway, it wasn't the car behind that car either. But too often in the world we live in, we have many people who would be in the exact same situation and would not laugh. They wouldn't giggle. They'd be filled with anger. And maybe start yelling at those little kids. Now, to connect this also with our text for today, using the parable of the prodigal son, let's just say the little one that threw the shoe out the window was the younger son. The older son, of course, was right next to him. It just got through seeing his brother throw the shoe out the window, get a little bit of tension from mom and dad. You know, okay, that was kind of cute, kind of funny. Let's try not to do that again. And then sits there and says, okay, mom and dad, what about me? I've been the good kid. I'm the one who's been following the rules. But yet you just now give time and attention to my younger disobedient kid? This isn't fair. Now you can see where sometimes our anger comes from. A high degree of, that's not fair. That's not just. That's not right, is it? Why is it always the troublemakers that get the attention? Why can't it be the good kids? Why doesn't good get rewarded in our society, we might say to ourselves? Now, I will admit, there's got to be a little bit of a difference on how society operates versus how our Savior Jesus Christ operates. Because in today's society, it is good that the good get rewarded. You know, we do want to have society function well. We don't want people to be disobedient. That being said, we turn the tables back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not that he wants us to go out and sin all that we can. That wasn't the idea of the message or the analogy. The idea of the message is, you're not the innocent one. You're the guilty one. Don't you dare sit there and cross your arms and say, well, I haven't done that. Don't you dare sit there and say, well, I'm good enough. Don't you dare compare yourself to somebody else and condemn them to make yourself more righteous. You see, that's what adults do. Don't grow up. Like the older son in the parable of the prodigal son, who became judgmental even when his father pleaded with him. He was saying, no, life wasn't fair. He was obedient. He deserved the reconnection. He deserved the love. He deserved this. Entitlement was great among him. With our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't ask for entitlement. Don't ask for what you deserve. Because the truth of the matter is, if we really looked at our hearts, if we really looked at our thoughts, our words, our actions, we will not find a single just one here. We are all sinners. We all need to be like that younger son and the prodigal son. We all need to be that one that throws the shoe out the window. We all need to be the one that comes before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and says, yes, I made a mistake. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I have fallen short of your glory. And then our Savior turns and looks and laughs and giggles. All because of what we celebrated last week. Because what typically would have been the anger, the wrath, and the frustration that we deserve was not placed upon us, but upon our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is upon His death and resurrection that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Father can now look at us with loving, caring eyes, no matter what we have done in the past, no matter how many times we've also have rebelled, no matter what sins we've committed by thought, word, and deed, and now our Savior looks at us with love. Don't lose this special relationship. If it only occurs with kids, then don't grow up. But even adults can understand this message. And so this day we rejoice and we celebrate that we have a Savior who did not condemn Thomas for saying, why did you doubt? Why are you disbelieving? Put your hand here, see the nail marks, and believe and trust. Our Savior really could have lectured him big time, but didn't. No, our Savior has a very compassionate heart because he knows what's really at stake. It's not a shoe. It's a soul. That's why our Savior dies on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, it's a message we've heard and we will still continue to hear over and over again. And just because we hear it over and over again doesn't dilute the message. It doesn't make it boring. It reminds us of what's truly important. So as we continue in physical years on this earth, let us not grow up that we lose the message. But let us always remember, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did take the wrath of our sin. He bore that punishment upon the cross. And it is given for you. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.